We need your prayers this morning. We look forward to special effort to be here. It felt like the Lord had burdened our heart with some of His Word last night as we were reading. Our thought this morning is to seek. Seek the Lord. You know, to seek means to put forth a special effort, then to seek something, to find something. If we had something just before our eyes, we wouldn't have to seek that, would we? But if it was lost or got out of place or something or misplaced it, well, we'd have to do some diligent searching to be able to find that, wouldn't we? And I don't believe we just find the Lord at random. If we find the Lord, it's because we sought for Him. That seek the Lord while He may be found and call upon Him while He's near. The Lord, He presents Himself to mankind. But we have to seek for Him, don't we? We have to seek His help. I'd like to return to the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And we'll start reading about the 22nd verse. And Ellen, will you read down to about the 31st verse for me?
Deuteronomy 4,
yes.
22. But I must die in this land. That's virgin. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you
this morning. Now, this is Moses here talking. He said now that the Lord, He must die. He wouldn't get to go over to the good land because he had failed and took glory to himself or something along that line. But he said, now you people, you're going to go on over to the land now. And then, go ahead.
Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Then thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto thee.
Now, we have before us here this morning the lesson that Moses was instructing the garden men to obedience when we're over into the land, and how that if they went astray and began to seek other gods, how the Lord would turn against them and how it would provoke the anger of God. But the thought that I want to dwell upon this morning, even though they did do those things, and they did wander away from God, and they failed God. The 29th verse says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, shall be found in him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul. Now, even though they had went astray, even though they had failed God, even though they went off after the idols and all that, if from then or from that time, if they would turn their hearts away from all the idols and all the things that they went astray, and they begin to seek the Lord with all their heart, well, then the Lord would hear their cry. I was thinking this morning about how people fail the Lord and how they get off into things that displease the Lord in life. Maybe, perhaps all of us have been calling that to an extent somewhere down in our Christian life, where maybe we have did something that displeased the Lord. Even maybe we hadn't necessarily just given up or backslid or all that, but we did something that displeased the Lord. But if we would just turn to the Lord with all our heart and seek him, the Lord is just there willing to forgive all the mistakes and everything. Just like he was these people. Now, if they from thence would seek the Lord, they would be kept out of those things and would have been prohibited from going through all this trouble. But if there was such a thing as they went astray and they fail the Lord, and they come to the realization that they had failed the Lord, and then they turn to the Lord, will they be found of the Lord. Then the 30th verse says, when thou art in tribulation, and these things that come upon thee in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt be obedient unto his voice. Now he was wanting them to know when tribulation comes and when problems come in the latter days, and they had difficulties and problems, if they turn to the Lord and be obedient unto his voice, well, then the Lord would bless them. You know, we want to remember this morning that when tribulation comes, and when problems come, and when burdens come upon the land and upon us, and we're facing great trials in life, we don't want to forget the Lord wants us to turn wholly unto him. He wants us to turn and seek him earnestly and put our faith in him and put our trust in him and not look at what we see or not listen to what we hear and not be troubled about all the things around about us we can't do anything about and all these things, but just turn the Lord to the Lord thy God, and thou shalt be obedient to his voice. For the Lord God is a God, a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a tender God. And in the day that we turn to him with all our heart, we'll be found in him. And he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sweareth unto them. Now the Lord is a tender God, he's a loving God, he's a merciful God, he's a God of compassion, a God of concern, and a God that wants to forgive mankind and wants to restore mankind back to the original state like it was even in the Garden of Eden. He knows all those things. But even though man goes astray, and even though they're faced with problems, even though they're faced with trials, even though tribulations come our way in life, if we just turn to the Lord with all our heart, well, the Lord will be right there to help us. When we seek him with all our heart. Now, he said, from thence he said, and from now on, he said, if you turn to the Lord and you'll seek the Lord your God, and you'll be found of him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. So, when we turn to the Lord and begin to seek him with all our heart and all our soul, and all our mind and all our strength, even though we're in trouble, even though we're in sorrow, even though mishaps come our way and great tribulation, all that, if sons with all our heart and humble ourselves. And if we fail the Lord, just tell the Lord, I'm sorry I failed you. From the depths of our heart, then the Lord is a merciful God, and then God there to help us and bless us. But if we take a stiff attitude that we're not willing to repent, we're not willing to humble ourselves, we're not willing to confess our mistakes, and we're not willing to confess our wrongs and all that, there's no hope for us. What's there? No hope at all. That soul that will just humble ourselves and just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I've made a failure. Lord, I've not been just what I ought to be. Lord, I just haven't lived where I ought to be. Just humble ourselves. Oh, the Lord will just reach out His personal hand and take that soul in and bless that soul. So he told these people, he said, now from now on, if you'll just seek the Lord now, you'll be found of Him when you seek Him with all your heart. Then in Jeremiah 29, we have again here the lesson before us of the people have been led captive over there. And Jeremiah was writing a letter to these people. In the 8th verse of 29:8, he said, for thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets nor your diviners that ye be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to their dream which ye caused you to dream. Now, here are the people have been led captive and been led away from their tribe and over to a foreign country. And I thought about what they said one time when they got over this country. He said they couldn't even sing the songs of the Lord anymore. They had to hang. He said, sing the song of the Lord. No, I said, we can't sing in this strange land. And they had to hang their heart on the willow tree. They couldn't sing anymore. They were terrible trouble over there. But he warned them now when they're the diviners and the prophets among them and all that, and don't be deceived now, don't hearken to them and all that. For they prophesied falsely unto you in thy name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. The Lord wasn't in them at all. They were over in a foreign land now. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years, now notice here, after they've been in all this captivity, 70 years, it seemed like quite a long space of time, wasn't it? That been in his terrible bondage, all that. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you, word toward you, in causing you to return to your place. And wasn't that wonderful? He said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and I will go, and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And he said, I will be found of you, said the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. Now gather you from all the nations, from what places which I've driven you, said the Lord, and I'll bring you again to the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now this was a marvelous thing. Now, after they had been led astray, and been off in this captivity for 70 years and all that. And then he was going to give them a special visitation. And then they began to seek the Lord. And then if he found the Lord, and then it's going to be their captivity is all going to be turned away. And the nation is going to be gathered back and going to be restored back right in the same place they were. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? After to think of that. Now people sometimes think, well, it's been so long that I have not had victory, and so long that things have not went well, and I'm getting up in years, and doesn't look like there's any hope anymore, and too many things behind me, and all this, and been too long. Well, there's hope in it. There's certainly hope. But after 70 years, they were able to turn and able to seek the Lord and be found of the Lord and be restored and be brought right back to where they was and carried away. Where they was carried away, be brought right back to the place once they've been carried away. That's a marvelous thing. But they had to seek the Lord. They had to, the Lord had to visit them. Then they began to seek the Lord. They began to cry to the Lord. And the Lord had great mercy upon him. I think about Brother Barton, I believe it was. Brother Barton backslid one time. Brother Sam Barton. And got taken up to the cares of life and so forth and backslid and went back in the world, and I believe for 15 years he didn't live for the Lord. But during this time it seemed like he had a tender heart and he sought the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't even deal with him. But he said finally one day the Lord began to talk to him. He said, "Now you get saved now." He went out and was seeking the Lord earnestly. And he made his way to an altar of prayer, and the Lord restored him back after he'd been gone for 15 years. That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? That the Lord is so merciful that he will deal with the heart. But what I want to impress upon us this morning, that we're going to have to seek the Lord. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Not just part of your heart, not just in a haphazard way, but with all of the heart. Just wanting deliverance, just wanting help worse than anything else in this world. But that's the attitude that you and I have got to have toward the Lord and toward our wrongdoings, toward our failures, and all that. We got to want the Lord and want forgiveness and want help and want victory more than anything else in this world. And the Lord is there to help us. In 105:4, of the book of Psalms, let us read a scripture there in 105:4, maybe 105:1. He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, take ye of all, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of men rejoice that seek the Lord." Now any time you begin to seek the Lord, and you begin to seek him earnestly, well, the Lord's going to bless you, and you're going to rejoice, isn't he? He said, "Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of men rejoice that seek the Lord." Every soul that seeks the Lord is going to rejoice. The Lord is going to bless that soul. Then he said, "Seek the Lord, his strength, seek his face forevermore." You know, we never will get to a place where we don't need to seek the Lord. If we live, it don't matter how long we live upon the earth, but daily and sometimes even hourly we have to seek the Lord, don't we? And all through the day, just seeking the Lord for help and seeking him for mercy and calling upon him for strength and grace and courage. So he said, "Seek the Lord, his strength, seek his face evermore." At all times, we must seek the Lord. We can't never get to a place where we feel independent or feel like we don't need the Lord's help, and feel like we don't need the help of the God's people, and we don't need prayer, and all these things that, sure enough, a soul gets an attitude, does need help, bad. So every day, we just have to seek the Lord, every day. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Every day, just have to seek him for strength. That's really he said, that to come boldly to the throne of grace, we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes. So every day of our life, we're going to find ourselves, if we're honest before the Lord, just seeking the Lord for help and for grace and for courage and to help us with our problems and helping with their trials and helping with their burdens and helping with our various needs. Just seeking us the Lord every day. That soul that seeks the Lord is going to be a glad soul. It's going to receive a real blessing to their soul. But then in Hosea 10 and 12, he said there to seek the Lord till he rain righteousness upon you. I know, I believe sometimes folks fail. They don't seek the Lord long enough, or earnestly enough, or fervent enough. He said in Hosea 10 and 12, he said, sow yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, that he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Not to stop till he just rained down righteousness upon us, till we just got an answer to our prayer, till we just got our prayers through, till we just feel really blessed in the Lord. Just don't stop until that time comes. For it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I'm afraid sometimes, folks, that we let up too soon, that we don't hold on till our prayers are went through. We don't hold on till we feel like we got an answer to our prayer. We just quit too soon. But we shouldn't stop till we know that we've sought the Lord until he rain righteousness upon us. Till all is well with our soul, and everything is clear in our soul, and everything has been clarified in every way. Yes, we need to seek the Lord. He just comes and rain rises till it's the calmness in our soul and the victory right in our soul. But in Amos 5 and 4, let us notice in Amos 5 and 4 that there are wonderful blessings when we begin to seek the Lord with all our heart. We'll be found of him. It's a wonderful thing when we begin to seek the Lord. In Amos 5 and 4, he said this, for thus says the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Now that was a wonderful statement, wasn't it? Thus said the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Now that's the only way we're going to be able to live, folks. That's the only way our soul is ever going to be fed. That's the only way our soul is going to be ever kept alive, is to seek the Lord. All of our lives, our strength, our courage, our grace, our victory, and whatever we have, it comes from the Lord. The thing that makes you and I alive today is God. He's the one that gives natural life, and he's the one that gives spiritual life, isn't he? And except we seek the Lord, we will not stay alive. We will not keep victory very long. We will go down in defeat if we don't seek the Lord. And Ryan Wells knew this. He instructed them, he said, for thus saith the Lord of the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Well, if he's telling natural Israel that, we are spiritual Israel today, and that's where their life is going to come from. Well, we know well that's where our life's going to come from, isn't it? That's the reason some people are so dead and so formal and got such a little victory in their soul and just up and down in their experience because they fail to seek the Lord. They fail to call on him. Now, if you didn't seek some food for your body and begin to hunt some food, prepare some food and make ready and eat, you wouldn't live. After a while you starve and you feel effects as you begin to without your food, you begin to live scanty on your food and all that. Wouldn't put forth no effort. Just maybe live on some little meager thing because it's too much trouble to go over there and cook something. Now that's people get unhealthy today and get run down their body. body because they fail to seek the right kind of food. Just live on a bunch of junk food and all that. But just sometimes, maybe because they just don't want to put forth the effort, see, to cook the food. But right in now, the book said you are what you eat. Well, I believe that. Physically and spiritually, we are what we eat. And if you don't eat right, your physical being is not going to be right. And if you don't eat spiritually, well, your spiritual being is not going to have victory and so forth. So he told them now to seek the Lord, and ye shall live. If you want good life and good victory and good power in your life and overcoming grace, and you want courage, and you want strength, and you want grace to meet the trials of life, and all that, you seek the Lord there. You call upon Him daily for that grace and for that help. And He said, the day you seek me, with all your heart, you be found of me. The Lord is going to come and bless that soul. But then in Zephaniah, the second chapter, let us turn here. In Zephaniah, the second chapter and the first verse. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather yourselves together, O nation, and not desire. O nation, not desire. Because a decree bringeth forth before the days pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Now notice. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be hid in the day of his anger. Now here's something that's got some depth to it. Seek ye the Lord, all meek of the earth. Now, if we'll stay meek, we'll seek the Lord more. Certainly we will. And then he went on to say, which have wrought judgment, seek righteousness. Well, someone said, I'm already righteous. Well, you get a little more righteous. Give me a little more reason. Who could use that? Every one of us. Surely we could. Now these are things that he said to seek the Lord for. That's where they come from, isn't it? Add your virtue, faith, and faith, knowledge, and tempers, and all those things. They all come from the Lord, don't they? Lord, help us to be more righteous, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be more meek. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. You know the Lord is angry with wicked, he said, didn't he? He's angry with people that just literally go against his word and just go on and will not seek him at all. The Lord's anger is kindled at the end of that verse. But in order to stay that anger and to call the Lord to turn to us all our hearts, we seek. We just seek. With all our hearts. Seek righteousness. Seek me. Oh, we need to seek Him more, don't we? I need more of it. And I'm sure you do. Seek Him. Lord, I appreciate what meekness I have. I appreciate what righteousness I have. I appreciate, Lord, what you've done for me. But Lord, I want some more meekness. I want to be a little more meekness. I want to be a little more righteous. I want to walk a little closer to you. I want to be in your presence a little greater. I want some more power in my life. Seek the Lord for power. In our lives, Lord, I want more power. I want more victory, Lord. I want more boldness to testify for you. I want more grace in my life. I need some courage, Lord. I've got some things in my life that isn't just what they ought to be. And Lord, I'm not satisfied with it. I want those things to be removed from my life. But Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be more of a bright and shining light in this world. I want my life to shine better. You know, when you begin to seek the Lord like that, you're going to find some new courage and grace and strength and meekness and righteousness just laying right down gently into your soul and blessing you and fortifying, lifting you up and enable you to meet the problems of life better. Enable you to live a better life. Oh, how we do need to seek the Lord for a closer walk with Him. Thank the Lord. Then in Matthew 6 and 33, changing the condition, thought just a little bit here. Now here he said, to seek the Lord, 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Now before this, he's bringing out that how about the grass of the field, wherefore he said that if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Rather, all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now we as human beings, we're inclined to work. We're inclined to fret when the meal barrel is getting low. That's human, see. And we're inclined to do a little grumbling, too. So, do a little grumbling. But we're looking at it in the wrong slant. We're looking at it in the wrong perspective. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things to be added unto you. Now, it doesn't mean that I just live close to the Lord and I lay down on my back out there somewhere if I'm able-bodied and not do no work. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Because the Bible said to earn the living by the sweat of our brow. I feel like if we would seek the God first, when these problems come, when these times come, instead of looking at them face to face, instead of about worrying and fretting around about us, if we begin to get a little closer to the Lord and begin to get a little more victory in our soul, as I've often said, if we will put the Lord first in our life, other things will fall in place. I believe that with all my heart today. Mm-hmm. That's what Proverbs said. If in all your ways you acknowledge Him, then He would direct our path. But we're so prone to think, now this is about to happen to me, and this, I'm in this grave here, and this problem here, but we fail to get a hold of the Lord in the matter. We let self get in the way. We let self hindrance. We let self steal the victory that we ought to have in our soul. If we'll seek the Lord first and put Him first in our life, we'll have better victory in the work. The day will go better for you. Your problem won't look as big. Things won't look as sad as they do if the Lord is first in your life. Sister Catherine Williams, remember reading maybe in the Faith Victory there, she has made an appointment to be in California for a revival meeting. And hear this blood clot hit her leg, and oh, it just so inflamed and just looked like he was in a bad shape. But you know what she said? She began to seek the Lord. She says, "Devil, you've got no part in the lot in my life." What's that? This is God's body and I'm God's being and all that. You have no part in the lot, Miss. In the name of Jesus, I'll rebuke you, and I'm going to go to that meeting in Jesus' name. And that's what she said. The Lord healed the blood clot, and she went on and said, "I haven't had any trouble since." But now, if we wasn't careful, we'd sit down now. Here I am. I'm faced with this thing. I can't go. I can't do anything. I'm just here. And we begin to lament and feel sorry for ourselves and all that. And sure enough, we are in trouble, ain't we? But we begin to seek the Lord first in this thing. Now, Lord, you know the way that I take. Lord, you know that I'm endeavoring to live for. And Lord, I want help. I need help, Lord. I'm not going to get down on this thing. I'm not going to just fret and worry about it. I'm not going to stew around, Lord. I can't do anything about it. You can't make one hair black or white, can you? But we're just so prone to look at the thing we're faced with instead of seeking the Lord more earnestly. If we would just seek the Lord on earth, get a little closer to Him, it can move the worry from our mind, too. It can move the anxiety from our mind. And all that, a close walk, close living, the Lord, it just takes care of the whole situation all around us. It's good enough. But loose living and slack living and failures, all those things create worry. It creates more problems in our life, and we're just in real trouble when we don't seek the Lord. But seek ye first. Now, he said the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, we don't want to just take it for granted that I have a good home to live in, that I have plenty of food on my table, that I have a good car to drive, and I have good clothes to wear. Don't take that for granted. Every time you seek the Lord earnestly, and every time He blesses you, you thank Him more. You thank Him more. That'll keep you in good contact with the Lord, won't it? Yes, it will. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of the thing of itself sufficient for the day and the evil thereof. The grace of God in our soul can enable us to face tomorrow with victory. I don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't either. But I do know that if I live close to God, there'll be grace today and grace tomorrow. But I know if I fail God today, tomorrow may be worse than ever. There's something, if the Lord can help us this morning, be able to get a hold of you this morning, that will help us in our problems with life, will help us in our burdens. I've known many cases, and I've also sought the Lord earnestly in different problems of life. And when I was able to live close to the Lord and seek the Lord earnestly and do the thing I knew was right and leave the thing in God's hands, it's been marvelous how God has worked. But at a time when I've been worried and fretted, maybe a little weak myself toward God, and not praying in earnest and worrying around, very little I ever received from the Lord as I could be. Very little I ever got. If I had a God God lifted up the praise for us like he would. But then when I sought the Lord earnestly, oh, I fell down upon my knees before God and, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm in trouble. Lord, please come with me. And you just thought the Lord earnestly, oh, now, when the Lord hears prayer, it's reality in time. I know the Lord did this. I know God moved upon the scene. I know God moved across the way there and burdened somebody's heart and all those things and made a way. Oh, then you just got more victory in you. You just thank the Lord for what he's done, how he's worked it out. But I've just fretted and worried and stewed around and maybe find that a little old problem will work out and all that. But you don't think much about it. But when you sought the Lord earnestly about it, when you brought the thing to him earnest and prayer, maybe you shed some tears about it. You're so concerned. You just earnest prayer. Then, when it works out, oh, thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord. I sought you, Lord. You come near. Oh, it's glory, man. And something saints the Lord wants you and I to get a hold of this morning. Seek the Lord. He said, seeking for righteousness, seeking for me, seeking for material things. Well, I've got a well body, and I've got a good skill, and I've got a good job. Why should I need to seek the Lord? You need to seek him too. You need to seek him too. Don't never take any credit or any praise or any honor whatsoever. Lord, I thank you that you give me strength today to work, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I have a job. I thank you, Lord, I have a home to live in. Thank you, I have clothes. I thank you, my family has been provided for. Then, when you look at it in that sense, our food, I believe, will even... Well, it means more Christ, don't you? I think our home will mean more. Our family will mean more. And all. There's more of a closeness there. So, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you. That's a promise. And I believe every one of us can rely upon that promise. Now, Lord, I've sought you today. I'm going about, Lord. I'm going to do what I can to try to earn my livelihood. I'm going to work, Lord. I'm going to do what I can. Lord, I'm expecting you to bless my labors. I'm expecting you to bless my efforts today. And, Lord, I'm going to go forth, and I'm going to expect you. And God will bless that effort in a special way. In Luke 11 and 10, in the book of Luke, 11 and 10, oh, thank the Lord. These things should be rich to our soul. Now, I'm talking about seek this morning. Seeking the Lord, looking to him, trusting him, depending upon him, relying upon him in all circumstances of life. 11 and 9 of Luke. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Now seek, again, seeking earnestly, looking. You know, I was thinking about when you lose something sometime, maybe you lost a piece of money, or a pocket knife, an article out in the leaves, I believe it is down at the... We were down cutting wood the other day down Brother Matt Millman's, and I lost, first I lost something. I lost the little top off the tank on the saw. And I saw it, and I looked, and I found that. I think I said, thank the Lord, I found that. And one of the other brethren, or some other time, lost a little bitty article. Wasn't that down there? Seemed like a little water or something. Just some little bitty thing off of that. I mean, little particle or something. It means quite a bit. And they found it by seeking that part of the leaves and working and finding it. You know, I meant something. Oh, I say, seeking for it. Now I found it. Oh, just how they brightened up the countenance on their faces. James, you know. You know, that's the way we are with the Lord. When we begin to seek the Lord earnestly, and then we find what we're seeking for, and the Lord blesses our soul, it just changes our countenance. It just brightens our countenance. Oh, thank the Lord. He's heard prayer. Thank the Lord, He's blessed me. Thank the Lord, He's given me what I'm seeking for. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. He that seeketh, findeth. I'm afraid, folks, that we don't get things because we haven't sought earnestly enough. See, I don't know how long, if you had lost something valuable out there, a $5 gold piece or some little something that's really valuable out there in the leaves or dirt or something, brother, I tell you, you'd really do some earnest seeking. I tell you, I've got out and I've looked a little piece of money, getting in, scraped the grass in my fingers and moved the leaves back and just worked here and there, little article, just looking. Just forgot about everything else around me. Just focused my whole mind this, just looking for this little article right here. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Just forget about everything else at this particular moment. Lord, I need you more than anything else. I need your grace. I need your courage. I need your strength. And Lord, I'm just going to seek you till I find what I need. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Just keep knocking. Just keep seeking. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, would he give him a stone? Would you give your little child a stone? He comes now, I want a piece of bread, I'm hungry. Would you just pick up a stone and give it to him? No. You search that house out there, you, and try to find bread if there's any of these things. And hand me a piece of bread. Look. If your father asks, the son asks bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, would he give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, would you offer him an orphan? No, you wouldn't. You'd give him what he asked for because he needs it. It is something that's valuable, something that's needful. All these things now that he mentioned here were foods that would be really good for you. It'd be something really, eggs and fish and bread, all that are real foods that are real valuable. Now notice, if ye then being evil, are we being human, is what it means. If ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise the Lord. Have we been human and know how to give good gifts to our children, the things of nursing to them? How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Folks, we've got to ask the Lord for that. We can't just take it for granted and just go our way of life and live a kind of a loose life and expect God to bless us these things. We're going to have to seek him for it. Now he said one thing, that the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask him. We know a lot of times what our children need, but we want to recognize and ask that, don't we? The Lord knows what we need more than we know what to ask for. He's got the rule of the whole world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The beast that roam the forest of him. But he still wants you to seek for him. He's got salvation in the whole world. But you've got to seek for him.
before he gives it to you. Our last scripture, 24 and 5 of Luke. Start the first verse. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, when he's yet at Galilee. I'm impressed with this thought now. Here they were seeking the dead among the living. He's supposed to be dead. He's still dead. But he wasn't dead once. I wonder sometimes if we don't seek the dead among the living. We'll seek the living among the dead. Now, we're not going to find the Lord through some, through some great thing maybe we see in this earth and all that, but the Lord is up in heaven. And all of our grace and courage and strength comes down. In Him we live, we move, we have our being. And everything that we have comes down. And sometimes we seek the living among the dead. We try to get living things out of dead things. It's not here. It's not here. In other words, sometimes we try to get spiritual life from things around us here. Now, we can get a lot of courage out of what we see out here and thank the Lord for the hills and the valleys and the vegetation and the animal life and everything, the creation. That's good to think upon that. But you know that isn't what gives life to your soul. He gives that life. But if we get life, we're going to have to get a little life here. Now, these people were seeking the living among the dead. Why said he's not even here anymore? And weeping about it. Well, Jesus already been risen. Already went on his way. Right away appeared to him. Oh, sometimes, dear ones, maybe the Lord is on he said he's sitting yonder at the right hand of God, making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's well alive today. And sometimes we just act like he's dead sometimes. Yeah, we do. We just act like we're dead according to our faith, according to our courage, and the way we get our heads down, just act like my God's dead. My God's well on the journey. That's the way we act sometimes, too. Just praying and doing and all that around. Well, if we look the right story, he still is much alive as ever was. He's still sitting there at the right hand of God, he said, making intercession for us today. But saints, I'm persuaded to believe that we look in the wrong direction. We look maybe at the trial we have. We look at the problem we have. We look at the physical part of life. We look at the material part of life. We look at the problem we see, and all we can see is trouble. All we can see is affliction. I'm in this, and how, and when are we going to get out? We're seeking the living among the dead. If our faith would get above the skies and look away, we could see Jesus. Now, when Stephen was being stoned to death there in Acts of the Apostles, Stephen was in serious trouble. But you remember what he did? He looked up. Maybe that'd be good to read that before we close. I believe that's the fifth chapter of Acts, sixth chapter along there, somewhere, isn't it? Someone find it while I call our attention to it. Stephen here was being stoned because he's preaching the Word of God. Let's notice in the sixth chapter, and someone finds that for us right here. It's along here somewhere. Oh, thank you. 7:57. Now he said, let's read this, 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Now, after Stephen was preaching to these people, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed upon him with his teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven. Now, Stephen just said, now, look here, I've been preaching the Word of God. And here now, they pounced upon me, and they're going to take my life. Lord, this didn't look like it's fair. But instead of that, he said he looked steadfastly toward heaven. He looked where the life was, didn't he? He looked up, and praise the Lord, he saw something, didn't he? And saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, I tell you, folks, as the song said, when I looked up, he looked down. Oh, may the Lord help you and my me to look up this morning. To look up. He looked up. Here they come at him. Pounced upon him. Oh, this little tear apart, so to speak. But he looked steadfastly into heaven. Oh, he was beginning to look here. Here's a man here after him. Here's one over here. Here's one getting a stone there. They're coming at me and all. But he looked up. You know, that took some faith to look up in a time like this. Yes. That took some close living to look up in a time like this. But God enabled this dear brother to look up. Praise the Lord. And he looked up, and he saw the glory of God. Every time, folks, that we look up in earnest protection and honesty before God, we'll see something. We'll feel something. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Someone said, perhaps Jesus maybe stood up at this particular occasion. The other time we find he said he's sitting at the right hand of God. But this time he saw Jesus standing there. Someone said, you believe Jesus just was so concerned that he just got up and stood up with special attention to this man of God. That's your supposition. He said, now look what he saw. And behold, I see the heavens open.